This KFKA podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Well, the Peyton Watson saga is over. The Nuggets officially traded Watson for what? A washing machine? A couple of draft picks? We'll get to that. Where are the Nuggets at this point? Also, Kevin Lytle's going to join us from the Fort Collins, Colorado. I'm excited about that chat. And I want to get into more of this. The Denver Post outlining this. The deputy, the sheriff that made the attempt to serve papers to Deion Sanders on CU campus. So we'll get into that. We have a fun show today. It's a whole show, and it starts right now. Thinking about it, was tired of talking about it, and it's done. The Denver Nuggets have traded Peyton Watson, and it's a three-team trade. Cavs, Nuggets, Clippers agreed on a trade that's going to send Peyton Watson to Cleveland, and he signed a four-year, $88 million deal. So it's going to be like $22 million. A year. He's got a player option and a trade kicker to join the Cavs, according to Clutch Sports CEO Rich Paul and his other agents, Lucas Newton and Calvin Anderson. So the Nuggets get an unprotected 2031 Cavs first round pick and a 2032 Sacramento Kings second rounder, according to sources. We don't even know if Joker's going to be playing by that time. Now, because they were in the second apron, they couldn't get a player. They're still in the second apron, too. They're about, I don't know, $1.5 million over. We'll see if they can get out of it. Still got to move, guys. And none of this involves Zeke Nagy, the man that can't be traded. On the surface of this move, it looks like a bad deal. And I'm not saying it's right or wrong, but unfortunately, this was the only thing the Nuggets could do. They weren't going to be able to get a player because they can't move anybody off of their roster that they want to try to move because there's no interest in absorbing these contracts. And teams now know, too, like, I'm not going to help you get out of the second apron to take a chance on a guy. I'll leave you in there. It's one less team that might be as competitive in this deal. So the Nuggets, they lose Peyton Watson. They are still in the second apron. They still have Zeke Nagy. They didn't really get a lot this year. The offseason was tough for Denver. Now, I was asked this on Good Morning NoCo. Tanner and Brian were talking about it. Are they still a contender? The Nuggets are a playoff team, okay? That's as long as you have Joker, you're a playoff team. Are they better than the Thunder? Are they better than the Spurs? Not today. Now, if everything goes right and everyone's healthy and Aaron Gordon's fine and Christian Brown bounces back, I could see this team, given a top-tier Western Conference team like the Spurs and the Thunder, I could see them giving them a run for their money, but I'm not confident. I wouldn't be confident picking and saying the Nuggets are a contender. I wouldn't be confident saying that. But here's the deal with the Peyton Watson thing. His agents, probably him, it was done. He was over it. He wasn't going to be a long-term Nugget. And now, you know, the Nuggets are, they were faced with a really tough situation that they probably caused. But is it that bad that they chose Christian Brown over Watson? And apparently that did piss Watson off. Apparently that was part of his issues. Not that they gave Brown the money, but that they chose to give Brown the money before they gave Peyton Watson anything. And then they made him that offer that was going to be like $14 million a year. I have mixed feelings about this. The Nuggets said at the start of the offseason, basically Josh Kroenke's end of season presser, that Watson was the priority, that he was priority number one. And then all players were on the table. But then you also heard Kroenke say, we could be in a scenario where we run it back as well. And that's kind of what they're doing without Watson. And you got a few random guys that may or may not work out. But I want to get something clear here, too. Stop with the Kroenkes are cheap thing. That's not the problem. The problem is that they gave too much money to guys that they put together bad contracts. That's the problem. So I don't know where this whole Kroenkes are cheap and they're spending more money on the Avs and the Rams and all this. They've spent money. Joker's making a lot. He's making the most he can. Jamal Murray's got a huge contract. Aaron Gordon has a huge contract. Cam Johnson has a $20-plus million contract. Christian Brown now has a $25 million contract. They gave money to Michael Porter Jr. They gave money to Zeke Nagy. They just paid Spencer Jones. It's not that they're cheap. It's just that whether it's Calvin Booth or what have you, or it was Calvin Booth, they gave Michael Porter Jr. too large of a contract that basically forced their hand. They wouldn't have traded MPJ if the contract was significantly less. They traded him purely to get out of his contract. They didn't want to lose MPJ. They very much viewed him as part of this roster and a beloved part of this roster. But they gave him too much money initially, and that's why they're at this point today. So I'm hearing everybody say, oh, Joker's done. He's going to demand a trade. He's not going to re-sign. I don't think the Watson move was any kind of straw that broke the camel's back. I don't believe that. But a series of moves that really haven't seemed to put this roster in the best spot. Yeah, I could see if he's frustrated. But he said it a million times over that he's going to be a Denver Nugget. He's going to retire as a Denver Nugget. He's not going anywhere. So right now, Michael, based on his reputation and who he is, I have no reason to believe that he's going to go against his word. And I don't think the Peyton Watson thing suddenly has him thinking in Serbia, oh, they didn't keep Watson. I'm out. I don't think so. I think he wants to win. I think he wants to win, but I also think he's, and I say this in a very positive way, he's like a simple guy. He's like, I don't need to mess with moving cities, going to a different place, getting to know a new area. I don't know. That's just me. Based on what we've kind of learned about Joker, I don't believe he's going anywhere. But the fact that we're even having to say that today, that bothers me. That does, yes. The fact that it is like a big topic of conversation. Is Joker going to want out of Denver? There's been a lot of comparisons to between Denver and how Milwaukee handled their superstar and how they handled their team after winning a title. And you can see him. I mean, year after year, this team lost guys that were a big part of their championship. In 2023, they lost Bruce Brown. Bruce was really good first time around for the Nuggets. He played so well, he was going to go get paid. Nuggets couldn't afford it. They lost KCP in 2024. They traded MPJ last year for Cam Johnson. A lot of those big pieces from that championship year, you just couldn't afford. Is this just part of it? Because I'm looking around, and especially with the apron thing, and I know that's fairly new, it is hard Was it Steph Curry that said the day of the dynasties in the NBA are done? He might be right. You win. Obviously, you win because you have great stars, but you have a great bench. Well, then those guys start wanting to get paid. The problem is Denver just paid the wrong guys. Now, if they wouldn't have signed MPJ to the big contract, who knows what would have happened? He might have left. He might have left the Nuggets before that. Could he have done it for less? I don't know. They shouldn't have paid Zeke Nagy, though. That contract continues to hurt. That continues to be probably the worst thing that Calvin Booth did as a general manager for Denver. But guys, I'm not going to sit here and act like, oh, the Nuggets screwed this up by not retaining Peyton Watson. There is the, I think, well-believed rumor out there that Peyton Watson kind of quit on the team in the playoffs. That he was preserving himself so he didn't get re-injured, because he already had an injury, because he was coming up on a contract year, kind of, right? If that's the case, do you want a guy like that? And then the other one is, I think there's something weird, too. Like, they had to trade him by a certain deadline this offseason, or they wouldn't be able to trade him throughout the season. Something like that. I read about that the other day. So there's something weird. I'm not 100% sure on that, but it is strange because the pressure was on the Nuggets to get this done before the season started. It's kind of like the Carmelo thing. Like, you knew he was going to be gone. That ship had sailed. You didn't have a relationship with him anymore, apparently. He was frustrated that he didn't get offered what Christian Brown was offered, and maybe he didn't get offered what Christian Brown was offered before Christian Brown was offered. And then I think there were feelings of resentment there. So it was over. They weren't going to retain him. They weren't going to keep him. He wasn't going to be a Nugget. And if you leave him on the roster this year, if he played on that, on his rookie contract, his last year of it, then I would say all the questions would be out there. Like, if he's hurt, is he really hurt? Is he preserving himself again because he's coming up on a contract year? It sucks because Watson's a hell of a player. He's a good athlete. But let's face it. He wasn't that good in college. He wasn't that good, save for the 1 month where he was amazing. It looks like his trajectory, like he's moving up. It looks like it. Denver gambled on Christian Brown, knew the risk if they didn't make Peyton Watson an offer. I mean, the worst thing that happened to Denver was all these guys getting hurt, and then Peyton Watson balling out for a month. It's actually the worst thing. That's what's tough sometimes. That's why you see teams sign players early. Sometimes they sign them when they're not at that level yet. They believe they're going to be at that level, but they want to catch them now so that contract doesn't move up. That's what the thinking was with Christian Brown. They didn't believe they didn't believe Watson was going to take off this year. So then he did, and then in that month of whatever it was, December or January, then you got a problem. I mean, you're winning games. He's helping you win games when everybody's hurt. But now he's going to want that money. And the market's going to tell him that he's worth in the 20s. Now, I think his camp believed he was higher in the high 20s. But it's crazy. Okay, Brady, I give. What the heck is an apron? Other than that, other than what you wear to cook. So those of you that are just following, the apron is a new form of salary cap in the NBA, if you haven't been following that. And there's the first apron, there's the second apron. It's a certain level of going over the salary cap. And if you go into the second apron, you're severely punished. You can only sign vet minimum contracts. You can't, if you do a sign and trade of any kind, you can't get a player in return. You can't trade a guy and get another player If you were in the first apron, it's tight too. But the second apron, basically what you need to know is second apron bad in the NBA. It's not good. I don't like it. I don't like what the NBA's done. I think they're going for parity, and boy, are they getting it. I mean, you had the Lake. Let me look at all these champions. The Toronto Raptors won in 2019. 2020 was the Lakers. 2021 was the Bucks. 2022 was the Warriors. 2023 was the Nuggets. 2024 the Celtics. 2025 the Thunder. 2026 the Knicks. You're not seeing the dynasties anymore. So the apron is basically just bad. It's another level of salary cap that if you go into it, you're severely punished. It becomes way more difficult to operate, and you're kind of stuck. And that's where the Nuggets are right now. Plus, it costs money. Plus, you know, the Cronkies don't want to have to spend money on something, on a situation that's not for a player.
If you're one of those teams that's in that first or second apron, to me that would feel very unattractive to a lot of players who are looking to win a championship.
Yeah, you also have to look at that. Like, that's going to hurt you. You know, if you're a free agent and they're able to get you on a mid-level, on a vet minimum, then they could even look at that and say, well, they're kind of handcuffed now. I don't even know if I want to go there, because I would be the only move they could really make in the next 2 years if I signed a 2-year contract or something like that. Go Pokes texting, and the fact that you know what this means makes me smile. I have no idea what you're talking about. Who named it an apron? No idea. It's an Adam Silver invention, and I hate it. Just put there's a salary cap. There it is. Just put the number, 200 whatever million dollars. If you go over it, you got to pay a fine. You lose a draft pick. I don't know. Punish them. But I don't like the tiers of the salary cap. It's so confusing. It's a very confusing thing. But the apron also, if you're in it, if you're in the second apron, you can't sign and trade for players. That's why the Nuggets didn't get any players. They got draft picks. So that's what you get. I just kind of wrote out something here. A team above the second apron cannot acquire any player via sign and trade. Under NBA rules, even being above the first apron prevents a team from doing a sign and trade if the acquisition keeps them above that apron, while the second apron strictly bans taking back any player under a sign and trade entirely. And the Nuggets are still in the second apron.
If they get out of this apron, even if they get out of it like really quickly, this is bad on them. This is really bad for them, because you now have a reputation of making really terrible decisions. So if I am an apex athlete and a bunch of teams are looking to get me, am I going to sign with the Nuggets because they make bad decisions?
I don't know that I would say like they're all terrible decisions. A lot of teams would pay Michael Porter Jr. that money.
But with the salary cap you already had.
Yeah, true. Yeah. I mean, the way it is now, you got like three. You can build your team three heavy, so you pay three guys a lot of money, and then you got like two or three guys that are in the middle, and then the rest are getting nothing. You spread it out more. Maybe you just have one or two stars, one or two big money guys. It's complicated. And I don't like it. And the Nuggets are in it. They don't want to be in it. Nobody wants to be in it. Still in it. And you lost Peyton Watson. So today, yes, it looks very bad for Denver. 24 minutes after the hour. We'll get to more of this later on. The UNC-CSU football game was awesome last year, Mike. We're going to have plenty of those in the future. I'll get to that as well. Kevin Lytle will join us. Talk all things Colorado State. Keep it here on the whole show. Powered by Mosquito Joe on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
It's here.
I'm telling you, it's here.
The Broncos are on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hi, this is Spencer Smith with DNVR Rockies, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
First things first, I'ma say all the words inside my head. I'm fired up and tired of the way that things have been. Oh, ooh, the way that things have been.
Slicker bringing us our beverage of the week. This one is Elison Night Owl Pumpkin Ale. It's a limited run. It's a seasonal run. So now you're starting to see the pumpkin stuff, the Oktoberfest stuff. I love it. I love that beer. I love pumpkin beer. I love Oktoberfest style beer. It's so good. Yes, it's wonderful. Michael, one day I'll buy you one and we'll toast. We'll have a toast.
And you can drink both of them.
Yeah, okay, that's fine. You got to check it out, though. It's made with Magnum hops and real pumpkin seeds. It'll keep your night nice and cool no matter what the rest of the summer temperatures looks like. Get your six-pack today at On the Rocks Liquor. They got a free wine and beer tasting coming up tomorrow. Every single Friday, they do this. Michael, I'm excited about this, too. Tomorrow night, the return of football night in Northern Colorado, going to be hosted by Kyle Johnson, starts at 5 o'clock. That show is going to be great. It's going to be a preview to set the table for all the big high school football games in the area. He'll touch on some of the big college games, too, primarily focusing, though, on our game of the week, which is tomorrow night, Valley and Platte Valley. We'll be going at it. And former voice of the Nuggets, former voice of the Rockies, current voice of the Bears on ESPN+, Jerry Schimmel is going to be on the call. He will be doing play-by-play with our other legend, Hall of Fame guy, Bruce Dick. So Jerry Schimmel and Bruce Dick will be on the call tomorrow night for our first high school football game. Love the fact that we're doing high school football, man. And they do such a wonderful job. Jerry has broadcasted so many things for us in the past, and now he is 100% in on the football scene coming up. And our first one already, Mike, can you believe that? We're already to high school football.
I thought usually there's one week, the week zero,
I think this
was
is
the last Friday, Saturday of August. Apparently
they
we're going to have
moved
two.
It back or something, huh? I don't
feels
know.
Weird.
It does feel weird. And then next Friday, we're going to be live and on location tailgating, Michael. We got Coach Speak, my show, the return of Rocky Mountain Kickoff will be here, Danson and Tanner and Derbs. We're all going to be live out there from 10 o'clock to 4 o'clock, setting the stage for the UNC Bears-Weber State game, the first night game. The first game under the lights at Nottingham Field. So we're going to be there next Friday. Looking forward to it. Kevin Lytle going to talk to us about those Colorado State Rams. They still got 2 weeks until their first game of the season, which just happens to be the Border War. Who's the quarterback? What has Kevin learned this week? We'll find out with Kevin. But first, let's get the latest on the Local Sports Flash.
In Colorado, local matters. It matters who you trust, who knows your name, and who's rooted right here in our state. I'm Sean Ostoff, president of Bank of Colorado, and we're staying grounded in the same values we've built on for generations. At Bank of Colorado, we stay true to what matters most: local decisions, real relationships, and communities we call home. If you're ready for a bank built for Colorado and committed to it, choose Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Hey, it's Andrew Bogish from CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
We talked about this earlier. Former Cherry Creek High School star running back Jaden Fox has joined the Rams. It appears to be kind of a late decision or flip. He was going to go to UCLA. Kevin Lytle joining us. So these conversations with Kevin, of course, brought to you by Crazy Carl's Pizza. Kevin, tell me more about this. I was texting you because I was kind of confused about this, how it worked. Obviously, it's not a transfer or anything. It's just a high school signing. But it's all on the up and up. Like, he was going to go to UCLA and then decided not to go late, last minute, and now he's with CSU. Explain this situation for us.
Yeah, it's a unique situation because, yeah, it's not a transfer, really, but it's not, you know, the traditional high school signing, I guess, you know, as we're used to it. So basically, he had committed and signed with UCLA after previously being committed to UConn and a couple other places, honestly. But then this summer, from what I understand, there's some basically academic transfer stuff, credit transfer stuff that didn't transfer to UCLA properly, and so he was, I think released from the signing pretty much, and basically became effectively a free agent, or probably more understandable to everyone, basically just in another unsigned high school prospect. Obviously not everyone signed, so he kind of went back into that pot and became available. And him and Jim Mora had gone through the recruiting process before. He had committed to Mora and UConn at one point, so they knew each other. Mora said he, as soon as compliance basically granted him the okay to contact Fox, because there's a lot of rules around that, he did. And he said 15 seconds later, Jaden called him back, and they basically said, "You want to do this? Yeah, let's do this. Okay, and off we go." And that's pretty much what happened. Now he's a CSU football player and practicing with the team.
So he's out there now, Kevin, huh?
Yep.
Kevin, so on, how rare is this situation? Because that's why I was kind of confused by it. I didn't know kind of the NCAA legalities to all of this, but everything you're saying makes sense now. But is this kind of a rare situation? Do we see this often?
Yeah, this is a unique one, just given the timing and everything. And, we obviously see, kind of more traditional flips laid on. Every now and then you'll see someone released from their signing for one reason or another. A lot of times, if there's a coaching change, that that used to lead to it. But no, this is a definitely kind of a unique one and unique timing.
Oh, man. I mean, the numbers he put up, almost 1,800 yards in 14 games in the 2025 year, the big year for them. I mean, that's ridiculous, man. What was the average, like 13, 14 yards a carry?
Yeah, it was like 14 yards a carry. He had more than 5,000 total yards of offense in his career, or total yards, I should say. That includes some returns. Big-time numbers. Like Jim Mora said, I don't care what level you're playing at. If you're averaging 14, well, he said 16, but if you're averaging 14 a carry, you're doing something pretty well. So some huge numbers for sure. And, Colorado Gatorade Player of the Year, which is a very rare thing for CSU to get that player to come, to be a Ram. And so, we'll see, if or when he makes an impact. I certainly wouldn't expect it right away. In fact, I'd be pretty certain it won't be right away. But definitely a big talent.
Do you see him, like you said, you don't see it right away, but is it one of those situations maybe down the road this season we might start to see a little bit more of him?
Yeah, it'll be one to watch. I mean, because he's definitely talented. You also have to say he's joining what is arguably CSU's deepest position group, too. So keep that in mind, too, when we're wondering or if he is going to play. But It's a big group, a good group. They already have another freshman running back, Cedric Ross, that I do think is going to be in the mix. So it's going to be a fight for playing time. But again, it's a guy with a big talent. But I will say, just because he wasn't here in spring, he wasn't here in summer, wasn't here for the first week or so of training camp preseason, it's going to take some time. And that's why I say I would not expect to see him on the field in the first few weeks.
Well, let's talk about that running back room a little. I know we spend a lot of time on the quarterbacks, but Mel Brown, that's certainly a name that you've mentioned quite a bit on this show.
Yeah, he looks really good. Kind of same thing as in spring ball. He looked really good then, and nothing has changed. Probably the biggest change is Darrell Robinson wasn't a full participant in spring, and he's out there in the fall. He's the guy that was really good at UConn 2 years ago, went to Auburn last year, had some flashes, but mostly an injury early on sidelined him. He's back out, and he looks good too. I think we're going to see a lot of him and Brown, but I also think we're going to see a number of guys. I think Oliver Lundberg will see the field. I mentioned Ced Ross. I think he's going to be on the field. It's a really deep room, but those top two guys, I think, are quite good.
And so, I mean, talking about that, you said this might be one of the strengths for this team. So, obviously, a mobile quarterback, either way they go, we'll talk about that in a moment, too. But we can expect a lot of running happening for this Rams team this year.
Yep, I think good run game from, both the running backs and some from the quarterbacks. And then I know one of the things they look for in running backs is guys that can catch the ball out of the backfield as well. So I think that's going to be part of their element to keep an eye on too.
Kevin, Haney or Farrar at this point? What does your gut tell you?
Yeah, I mean, I keep I guess I keep sticking with the same answer of I think it's certainly a very real competition. I just think it's going to end up, if I had to bet today, I still say Haas Haney, and my reasoning pretty much stays the same of he's one of, if not the best athletes they have on offense, and I just can't see coaches not, you know, choosing to put their one of their best athletes on the bench. I think both are pretty good. I think both are better than what CSU had last year. So I feel pretty comfortable about where they're at. But yeah, if you're going to tell me or ask me right now who's coming out against Wyoming, I think it's still going to be Haas Haney is my bet.
And it seemed like that was the start. At the beginning of all this, it did seem like we were talking more about Haas Haney. Farrar's name, though, started coming up more and more, spring ball, all that stuff. As we got deeper into fall camp, he definitely has become, you know, like you said, this is a real competition between these two.
Yeah, I think it is showing, you know, Mora has said of, you know, he doesn't care about stature or money or anything. He's going to play who he thinks wins. And I think that having these guys compete is showcasing some of that of, you know, Haney obviously is a guy with a lot of attention. Excuse me. But they think Farrar can do a lot of good things as well.
Kevin Lytle joining us from the Fort Collins, Colorado. And these conversations are, of course, brought to you by Crazy Carl's Pizza. Kevin, another big one that I didn't talk to you about yet, but the Pac-12 versus the Mountain West, that settlement. You wrote a little bit about this. The five schools who left the Mountain West for the Pac-12 will pay roughly half of the original number the Mountain West saw in exit fees. How did this thing happen, man? This is a crazy one.
Yeah, it's... Gosh, how long did this go on? Like two plus years,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah.
It's hard to even keep track. But yeah, I mean, I think you have to say the PAC and the PAC schools the schools that left the Mountain West came out on top here. I believe the original Mountain West exit fee was $17 million, and that's without adding on some of the kind of poaching penalties that they were pursuing. And basically, CSU ends up on the hook for just shy of $10 million. So that feels like a pretty big win.
Yeah. I mean, as you noted, the departing schools will pay the Mount West $49 million. The original exit range from 19 to 38. So wild story, man. And I bet you're happy. Is this over now? Are we done with the Mountain West Pac-12 stuff now officially?
I think finally, or it now transitions to on the field, which is just fine, and we're all happy with that.
I think we're all ready to just see football, you know, with everything, this thing, all the rule changes, all the squabbles, all the, you know, the gambling talk. I mean, I think we're just ready to see some pads on pads, man. We're getting there.
Definitely. It is funny that the first game for CSU is a Mountain West and rivalry game. I believe Pac-12 leadership might be in town for that one.
Oh, wow.
So it is funny. Like, obviously, the legal battle is done, but the social media battle never ends, does it, Brady?
Oh, my God. Well, yeah, Kevin, I couldn't help myself.
So you know, yeah, one way or another, the result of that border war is going to kick that feud up, the Pac versus Mountain West. So it's done legally, but it's never going to be done forever.
Yeah, man. Well, I'm ready for that game. What does your gut tell you about that game so far? I mean, I don't know when you're going to start doing more of a deep dive into Wyoming, but I can imagine they're going to have a pretty good defense.
Yeah, I mean, just I definitely don't know them in depth, but obviously there are some things that tend to be consistent with Wyoming. I think it's going to be tough. Huge crowd, I'm sure. It's going to be a game of who channels the emotions.
All right, this one's going to be, we've talked about it too, about how emotional this is going to be. The rivalry continues, and there's going to be a feeling with Wyoming of, you know, hey, you too good for us. You left for the Pac-12. You know that's going to come into play.
Yep.
And that's going to make this thing even more fun.
Totally. You would imagine they are maybe directly, maybe indirectly, but one way or another, that kind of mindset is coming up. And for CSU, I'm guessing they have a lot of kind of prove ourselves mindset of, you know, not the same old CSU type of thing as well. So it's just really fascinating. A lot of guys who have never played in that game as well, but certainly the transfers we've talked to keep talking about how excited they are to see Canvas Stadium full. So going to be really fun.
Yeah, there's a lot to talk about with Jim Mora, the Pac-12, and this Colorado State team. And we'll look forward to Rams Weekly, presented by Crazy Carl's Pizza, returning next Thursday at 1 o'clock here, Kevin. So you'll be set
to
join
me.
Yeah, the great return every Thursday. We'll be setting the table for the big weekend ahead for Colorado State.
Really excited to be back at it on that one.
Yeah, man. Looking forward to it, Kevin. All right, bro. We'll talk to you soon. Great job this week, and we'll see what you're up to in the next couple of days.
Sounds good. Thank you.
Kevin Lytle, Conversations brought to you by Crazy Carl's Pizza. That Jaden Fox story turned out, like, I was confused on air as we were going through it, Mike. It's a rare thing. It doesn't happen like that very often, but it is what it is, and you know, things didn't transfer, whatever. UCLA couldn't make sense of it, and it was maybe more of a UCLA decision to say, I don't know, we can't get this done here, so we're gonna release you from your commitment, and that essentially made Jaden Fox a free agent. So no transfer portal or anything like that, because we're not even in that window, but that's a good get for the Rams. But Kevin's saying, don't expect him to play much, especially to start the season. They're pretty deep with that room. So, yeah, this would be probably more of a project and a guy that's going to be someone to watch for next season. 48 minutes after the hour. We'll take a short break here, wrap up hour number one. Top stories of the day coming up. Also, a new rivalry kind of starting up, maybe, based off of what we saw last year. It's the whole show. Keep it on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
The countdown to kickoff starts now. Preps Radio travels to Alt and will be live with the Highland Huskies starting at 5 p.m. Brought to you by the Cow Saloon and Eatery.
Hi, this is Earl Boykins, former Denver Nugget, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
That's good. That's a good tune right there, Mike. We're already pissing Buffs fans off, so why don't we piss Wyoming fans off, too? Go Pokes texting in. No, there's zero, quote, you think you're better than us on this side of the fence. Zero. Really? So there's no, in Wyoming, there's no, like, oh, you thought you were too good for the Mountain West, so you left to go to the Pac-12. We're gonna use that again. You know, we're going to use that to fire us up a little bit more. I think there is. Yeah, I mean, you can tell, like, your side of it. Mike, come on. The perception is that all these former Mountain West teams left to go join a better conference. Is that wrong or right?
Yes, that's the idea. They joined the two worst teams traditionally in that conference, but
still considered
it's a better conference. Power Five versus
Mountain. They were at one point a Power Five, and then obviously everybody left. And then they were just Oregon State and Washington State. I mean, Go Pokes said, I can promise you that's not the case, buddy. We literally talked to Cody Tucker, our Cowboys insider, said, yeah, there might be a little of that going on. Come on, that's human nature. You're telling me that not one fan or player is thinking, I'm not saying you are saying the Pac-12 is a superior conference. I'm saying, you think it is, and you left the Mountain West. We're going to show you. There's none of that. Come on. Of course that's a real thing.
There's probably some of that. Maybe less so in Wyoming than other places, but
there's got to be
some of that.
If I'm in the Mountain West and CSU left and said, we're going to the Pac-12. It's much better there. I would definitely be thinking, really, buddy? You think you're in the better conference? You think you're better than us now? Well, we'll show you. I would be thinking that's human nature.
If it were me, I'd be more pissed at Oregon State and Washington State not inviting me.
Well, then now you're getting there's a lot of Mountain West fans that are saying no, we like our conference, because if the Pac-12 goes up in shambles and goes away, like if they don't survive, I guess there's a possibility of that.
I have a prediction.
What?
We will have the Mountain Pack.
Oh, you think
within
they're all,
10 years?
Really?
Yeah. Maybe within 15.
I don't know.
But I think both conferences are going to suffer.
I wish they would have just joined. I really do. That was the original want. I mean, everybody's got giant conferences now.
Yeah, but the Pac-12 has a name. It's like First International Bank and Wells Fargo.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, Wells Fargo's bigger.
Mount West isn't going to
Wells Fargo's
give that up.
Got more of a name than First International Bank or whoever bought them. Maybe
I would have. I'm glad that Wyoming and CSU are going to continue to play, but I like the fact that they were both in the same conference. I did. But come on. Seriously, there's got to be a little bit of that. It's not like I'm saying Wyoming believes that the Pac-12 is the better conference. We don't know what the Pac-12 is going to be, Mike. It could be terrible. It could be.
It will.
Conference of Champions, bud.
It will.
Conference of Champions.
Conference of Champions when real schools were in there.
They are real
now
schools.
Now they have a bunch of fake schools in CSU.
What are you talking about? Boise State? Really?
Okay, Boise State.
I think you're going to be surprised. I'm pumped about this. This is going to be another thing to track.
They're going to have great records because they're just going to beat each other. All their records are going to be around 500, and Boise State's going to have, like, zero losses.
Go Pokes is really leaning in on this one. He said, not an ounce of that, bro. Not an ounce. There's not one. So you know every Cowboys fan. You know every Wyoming Cowboys fan. There's not one that's like, oh, really? The big old Rams think that they're better than us with their fancy stadium and Fort Collins and the Pac-12. We'll show them. There's got to be one. There's got to be. 11:57. Let's just make every fan base mad today. Mike, what do you think? You in? You in? Let's just scorched earth this thing.
Yeah, let's do it. Every fan base, all sports.
Top story of the day coming up next.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.